I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to Worldview, the foreign policy show from Hindustan Times. And we have a very interesting guest with us today, Professor Lin Minyuang from the Institute of International Studies at Fudan University in Shanghai, which is one of the leading institutes specializing in international relations. And don't be fooled by his looks. He's a pretty strong hand on South Asia and an expert on this region. And we're going to take a closer look at India-China relations while talking with him. Welcome to the show. I'm going to start by asking you to make a sort of a quick assessment of the relations between India and China right now.
Actually, I think Indian relations is on the rise because, you know, in 2070, we have the Doklam crisis. Actually, that is the lowest point in Sino-Indian relations after the Cold War. But after the Doklam crisis, we have the Wuhan summit, and also we have the Chennai summit this year. For this summit, I think it's really important because two leaders show very clear signal to all the government officials. We should attach great importance to each other. So that's why many dialogue mechanisms, many cooperation mechanisms has been resumed. And also we established a new platform for cooperation, such as in trade and in cultural exchange, in people-to-people exchanges.
Professor, what do you think India and China should do to, you know, achieve something that everybody has been talking about, which is making the 21st century the century of Asia?
Yeah, I think if we want to realize the Asian century, the first is you have to identify with Asia. You have to know your Asian identity. So what's the difference between Asian and the Euros? So that is very important. The other aspect, I think, is really important. You have to be to show the common position, especially which is relevant for Asian countries. We should not invite the external powers to be fully involved in all the issues which was happen in Asia. I just give an example, such as the South China Sea issues. Before the rebalance to Asian policy, there's actually no hot debate within South China Sea countries. After United States want to involve in these issues, then it becomes a really dispute.
So what you're saying is that there should be a closer cooperation on issues within the region, taking a more common position on world bodies?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In the last few years, trade between India and China has grown to about $100 billion. Mm-hmm. But there is one issue that remains a concern for both sides, and that is the boundary issue. You know, this is something that some people think is kind of holding us back. This is something that goes back to the 1962 war. Do you have any thoughts on how, you know, the two sides can go about speeding up this process of settling the border question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boundary issue, I think, is a really complicated issue and a very difficult issue for China and the Indians. You know, China has already resolved boundary issues with all the neighboring countries except Bhutan and India. So From Chinese political leaders, we are very clear about our position. And I think for two sides, you know, we have a signed agreement in 2005. That is a political guidance for the boundary issues. After that, we have to do some technical problems. So personal perception is that we need the political willing from both sides, and especially from the top leaders. You have to take some measures to push forward the process. And if you cannot make your mind, you cannot determine to resolve these issues, I think the first issue you have to be try to have a more confident building mechanism along the borders. And that is really important in one aspect is the now I can say we have some infrastructure competitions, something like that. So my personal view is that we have tried to make some, how can I say, communication about that. And another thing is, I think, I read the news from newspaper, Chinese ambassador to India has already mentioned, if we cannot resolve the boundary issues immediately, we have to focus on the early harvest, especially in the seeking sections in the boundary, because we have already have the agreement in that section. Maybe we have to try to push forward and give some confidence to the media, to the ordinary peoples, yeah, for final resolve these problems.
You know, there are also two other issues that have come up in recent months and years that have kind of affected the relations. One is the Chinese initiative of the Belt and Road, and the other side, India's participation in the Indo-Pacific. What is your take on, you know, how the two sides could address BRI and also, you know, the Indo-Pacific? I mean, how could there be more confidence between the two sides on these issues?
Okay. Regarding to Indo-Pacific, we know Indian position very clearly because you want to integrate with these regions and you don't think it's a strategy and you consider it as a region. And also you say you want to be this region to be inclusive. Actually, I can say China welcome Indian's position. But you know, for Japanese government, for United States government, the Indo-Pacific strategy is very, it seems that this strategy is very clear, try to isolate China's in some kinds of forms. Especially, you know, in this region, we already have the driver for this region's cooperation, that is ASEAN. And the United States say it will stick to ASEAN centrality. But actually, you know, no ASEAN country was invited to the security dialogue. And we already have one mechanism to that is East Asian Summit, to cooperate in a security domain. Why we need a new? So this is a problem for China. Why we have some negative perception of Indo-Pacific. And another for BRI, also I can say we are very clear, no Indian position. Actually, we try to invite Indian to join BRI many times. And we also mentioned if Indian want to join, then we can make some how can we say, like a compromise. And we even can have some kind of economic corridor like China-South Asian economic corridors. Whether or not Indian like a BRI, it doesn't matter. I think we should focus on the practical projects. We should try to promote our connectivity we have to promote more and more cooperation, especially in economies. We should BRI titles is not so important.
So it's not the title, but the projects.
Yeah.
Also, you know, at a time when, you know, the world order, some powers are becoming more and more protectionist. You know, they're kind of retreating behind walls. And also at the same time, you know, they're making efforts to, you know, dismantle or weaken some of the established, you know, things that have kept up the world order. Do you think it's important for India and China to ensure that the world remains more multipolar?
Yes, I think it's really important for China and India to take the same position in this regard, because as the two largest developing countries, we should have globalization. If globalization stops, I can say it's really a tragedy for China and also for India. So someone say, oh, China, United States have a trade war, then we can just waiting and see. And even some countries say, oh, maybe we can fishing in the trouble.
Waters.
Yeah, in the trouble waters. I don't think Indian will waiting and try to fishing in these trouble waters, because it will hurt you finally. So at the present, I think for China, India, we should show a very clear position. We are in the same boat.
Professor Lin, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This was a Hindustan Times production, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.